Good morning. Welcome to all of you, and for any of you who might be visiting, just to let you know that after the worship service, there's fellowship here in the Jonathan Edwards room, and everyone is welcome to join us. And if there's any need for childcare any week, we have childcare here as well in an air-conditioned room. So are there any announcements this morning? Cindy? And And Barbara, if there are people that wanted to have crafts that they wanted to donate for this event, could they do that? Or do you have enough?
They have some handcrafted articles and would like to buy.
Okay. Are there any other announcements this morning? Then let us begin our worship.
Please join me in the call to worship printed on page one of your bulletin. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright.
Praise the Lord, the Lord. They fell into him with
harp. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. O God, distant yet near, we gather as witnesses to your promise that if we seek you with all our hearts, we will find you. Be among us this day. Hear the confessions of our mouths and the yearnings of our hearts. Make us new again with your holy grace. Grant to us your Spirit that our worship may have integrity and energy, ever witnessing to your holy presence in our lives. We praise and give thanks to you. Amen. Please rise for the opening hymn, number 308, O Sing a Song of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
The Hebrew scripture reading today is not from Jonah, as in your bulletin. It's from Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
My walking stick cane. I thought that this week, since it's the week coming up of Vacation Bible Camp, and perhaps there would be some young people, although I see young at heart Christians here this morning, that I would tell a story, because this week is going to be about telling stories, it's going to be about doing crafts, it's going to be about learning about Jesus, and it should be fun and exciting. And I thought of a story this week about a little bamboo. This is a bamboo stick. Little bamboo lived by the side of the Jordan River with his family of bamboos. And as the wind swept through the Jordan River, little bamboo and his family would sway in the wind. But little bamboo was sad, and he said to his mom, "Mom, I'm just a hollow, empty reed. I'm hollow and I'm empty. I'm not good for anything." And of course, his mom, with all the wisdom, said, "Oh no, little bamboo, you just wait. You just wait and see. You are made for so much more than you can possibly imagine." And one day, when the wind was blowing and little bamboo was swaying in the breeze, a prophet came to the Jordan River and sat there with a group, a crowd of people, and little bamboo just kind of swayed just a little bit so we could hear what this man was saying, because everyone was listening so intently. And he was talking to the crowd about the Holy Spirit. And someone asked him a question: how can we be born again? How does the Holy Spirit come to us? And this prophet, whose name was Jesus, answered, "You do not know where it comes from. It's like the wind. It blows here and there where it may. You do not know." And little bamboo just didn't quite get it either. But as Jesus the prophet was talking, he walked over to the side of the river and he picked up little bamboo. And as he was explaining again to the crowds about the Spirit of God, he started whittling little holes in the side of bamboo, and little bamboo felt it tickled a little bit, but he didn't mind. And all of a sudden the prophet said, "This is what it's like. Each one of you is an instrument, And the Holy Spirit, when it blows through you, plays a song. And so I'll show you on this little piece of bamboo. After that, little bamboo understood what it meant to be born again of the Holy Spirit. And he understood from that day on that he was an instrument, that he was made for so much more than just a hollow reed, and that the fact that he was a hollow reed meant that God could fill him with a beautiful song. And each one of us has a song to sing, and each one of us is called to sing our song.
Let us then pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
Oh, Pat,
peace be with you. I love that you played your bear.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's summer, yeah. It's actually too warm.
Yeah. Right, in the winter.
So should I just start this hymn?
What's that?
Should I start this hymn? We can come
let me just
and announce it.
You could say,
amen.
Let me go and say hello to a couple people.
Okay.
Thank you. And a reading now from the Gospel according to Luke. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Will you join me in the prayer that's found in your bulletin? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I think everyone remembers the prayer that Janis Joplin sang in the 60s. "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches, I must make amends. Worked hard all my life, no help from my friends. So Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?" We pray for many things in our lifetime: our health, our well-being, our security, for others and their well-being and security. But sometimes our minds can get in a rut of our own desires, and we can't see beyond it. Perhaps the benefit of prayer in our lives is much vaster than we can possibly imagine, and our own desires limit us from seeing beyond them. In the scripture reading this morning, Jesus says, "Ask, and you will, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened." But how do we ask? And what do we ask for? Where do we search? Through the voice of Isaiah, "Seek the Lord where he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We don't know the thoughts of God. How then do we pray to gain this kind of wisdom? I love this advice of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew. He says, "When you're praying, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles, for they think they will be heard by their many words." I often think about this when I'm coming up with a prayer for Sunday morning. "Whenever you pray, go into your own room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Knock, and the door will be opened." And you know, I think we assume sometimes we know what that means to knock, But I'll share with you a story about a door that I had an experience with recently. I took my daughter on a cruise to Bermuda. And right before the cruise, we got a phone call. You can upgrade your cabin to one with a balcony. And I thought, wow, this is the way to do it. You wait until the very end, and then you get they charge very little, and you can upgrade. So I wanted that balcony room, because I dreamed about when we were in Bermuda that I would open the door to the balcony and have my tea out there and with the sunrise and sunset. And when we got to our cabin on the cruise and we walked in, the first thing I did was went to that door. And I tried sliding it open. It wouldn't open. So I tried pulling it and unlocking it and pulling and unlocking and trying at the same time in different times. It would not open. And so frustrated, my daughter and I went down to the cruise director desk to tell them our complaint. And we waited online because this was the beginning of the cruise, so we waited online for maybe a half an hour, feeling all the way that we're never going to get this door fixed. And we got to the front of the line, we told them our plight, and the woman said behind the counter, "Did you try pushing it?" Such a simple thing. But we did not push the door. And you think, oh, that's such a simple thing, but how much of our lives is like that? We push and we push and we push, thinking we can't get our way, something is wrong, when all you need to do is the exact opposite. We hold on to things when what we really need to do is just let go. The disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." And they said to him, "Teach us how to pray like John taught his disciples." And I was thinking about John this week, and the first thing that John taught about was repentance. And I think we have this wrong idea about repentance. We think it's just to feel sorry about the sins we've committed and change our ways. But repentance in the Greek word is such a more exciting word than that. It means to literally turn upside down your thinking, to turn upside down your thoughts, to think differently, to see the world from a new point of view. I had this dream one time when I was in my early 20s that I was going to have this big, beautiful retail store, a vintage clothing store. I used to shop at Greystone Gardens in Pittsfield when I was in high school, and I always wanted a beautiful store like that. So in my early 20s, I started a store. But in my dream, what I didn't see were all the troubles that would arise, getting phone calls in the morning from staff members. "Janet, I didn't tell you that I was addicted to heroin, and I won't be in today." These are true stories. "Janet..." Another staff member, "Janet, I tried to commit suicide last night, and I won't be in this morning." "Janet, I'm sorry there's no money in the register this morning. I needed it for something." All these troubles, over and over again, and it kept me up night after night after night. What am I going to do? This is my dream. This is what I thought the only thing I could do. And then one evening, I was lying there, and it was like this huge weight was lifted off my back. And the words came to me, "Sell. Sell the store." Of course, why hadn't I thought about that? Because I was in such a rut of my own desires and my own thinking that I had to fulfill this dream that I forgot I could just let it go. And it was like being born again. I can't tell you what a weight was lifted off my back. For years I had been living with this struggle. All I needed to do was let go of my own desires. And I had to face the fear of what to do next, but that was nothing compared to letting go. It's also true when we pray for a loved one. We want to pray that our loved ones are going to get better, that they're going to be healed of their illness. And our healthcare system is set up that way to keep people alive as long as possible because we put value in this length of time, sometimes over the value of the life itself. And we don't want to see any suffering, but I was thinking this week about Jesus when Jesus told his disciples what was going to happen to him. all the suffering he was about to endure, and Peter saying, "Oh no, Lord, not you, please, not you," thinking he was saying the right thing. And Jesus' response was, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Sometimes the greatest thing we can do is be with someone and allow their suffering. I once worked with children in a hospital in New York City, and I remember one little girl very, very ill, and her parents were begging God to keep her alive. And one day when we were alone, she said to me, "Janet, please just tell them to pray that I die." To allow someone's suffering sometimes is the prayer, not all the time, but sometimes the prayer that we need to let go. The prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, "Thy will be done," is not easy. And it's not easy to understand. It takes a lifetime. It is a prayer for us for a lifetime. Amen. And so we'll continue our service singing, "If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee," 282. You may be seated. So this is a time of prayer, and I'm going to begin with a beautiful prayer written by St. Anselm in the 1500s about going into your quiet inner chamber and there meeting God. And then we'll enter into a moment of silence, and within that silent meditation, if you have a prayer request, you may voice it aloud. And then we'll end with a prayer of the people and
the Lord's Prayer. A call to prayer. Come now, people of God, turn aside for a while from your daily employment. Escape for a moment from the tumult of your thoughts. Put aside your weighty cares. Let your burdensome distractions wait. Free yourself a while for God and rest a while in Him. Enter the inner chamber of your soul. Shut out everything except God and that which can help you in seeking Him. And when you have shut the door, seek Him and say, "Now my whole heart, O God, I seek your face. Lord, it is your face that we seek." O Lord, hear our prayer.
I pray for my brother and his daughter that are coming up to New Hampshire next week, and I hope they have a nice airplane ride there.
O Lord, hear our prayer. And our continued prayer for Ronnie and her family and their loss.
Lord, we each have a song to sing. I pray for the guidance of what to do when we sing in different and discordant keys. For the wisdom and the skill to learn how to do that in the life of this congregation and outside, especially in the life of this congregation. When we seem to be reading from the same text,
O God, we look to you for guidance. We know that you love each one of us with a love that we can't possibly comprehend. We ask that each one of us be touched with that love. And as we feel that strength, we share it with our brothers and sisters. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, for all of the places where there is war and violence. We pray that you bring into our hearts that peace which passes all understanding, and that our hearts may be filled with joy today so that we leave this service renewed and refreshed with new vision and new hope. This we pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. let us join together in the prayer which our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So freely we have received. Freely let us give.
Loving God, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. Accept and bless our open and bountiful hands as we share with all your creation food for the hungry and drink for those who thirst. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Before the benediction, I just wanted to say one thing, and that is, I think next week, Vaughn, is it your last Sunday?
Yeah.
Next week is Vaughn's last Sunday, and I think this congregation has been so blessed to have such a talented young organist to play. You know, I've been in many churches searching for organists, and it's very difficult, especially to find a young person going, playing the organ and learning that art. So we've been very blessed, and so I hope everybody comes next Sunday to appreciate it. It's hard that he's leaving last Sunday, and it's not a choir Sunday, so.
Actually, that's, it's a special choir appearance.
Oh, special? Oh, then I'm glad I said something, because you wouldn't have known, and you would have missed it. So a special choir.